Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Prepare for something amazing.
You are in radio. We're here. We're here.
I couldn't tell when it was ending.
Like that.
Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm the Mouse from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me, as always, is Jeff Reesterl. What's up?
Hello, 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 everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't tell when the music ended on that one.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
The music is actually the entrance to the wrestling stable, the Wyatt family.
Huh. Cool.
Indeed.
I have no idea where Matt is. He's not answering his text or his Facebook, so I'll have to, hopefully he's okay. He had a motorcycle wreck last week. He said asphalt doesn't feel too good on blue jeans.
Oh, I'm sure it doesn't.
But he's okay. He just scraped up and banged up pretty good. But other than that, what's been going on?
You know, I used to want a motorcycle years ago, but the older I get, the more I realize I probably shouldn't do that.
No. And, you know, you're not going to get a tour bus, so you're screwed all the way around.
I should get a tour bus, though.
You just want a motorcycle or a tour bus because of the rock star status that goes with it.
Well, I decided against motorcycles just because it's just too dangerous.
Right.
But I do deserve a tour bus.
No, because there's not going to be any groupies that would like to get on the tour bus with you.
Anyway.
Well, isn't that what rockers have? They have tour buses, and the groupies come after the show and get on the tour bus with them.
Yeah, and?
Well, that ain't going to happen for you, so
it
there's
can
no
be
need
like
for
that.
A tour bus.
It could be like that for investigations.
Oh. No. If I was going to get a tour bus, it would be for me.
No, you don't deserve one. I do.
Oh, man. I hope everybody in the Midwest, especially in Kansas and Missouri and Oklahoma and Arkansas, and Mississippi, they're all getting hammered tonight with severe thunderstorms and tornadoes.
Yep.
So
yep.
Hopefully everybody is taking cover. I was watching some episodes of Storm Chasers today. There's some crazy fools right there.
Oh, the Storm Chasers?
Yeah.
I always wanted to do that.
Well, I don't know about driving close to a tornado and actually getting in the path of it to deploy scientific equipment in it.
I would actually be ideal for a storm chasing group because you just plop me in the vehicle. There's no way that tornado's picking it up.
Damn. Mm-mm-mm. I've actually lost 24 pounds.
Wow.
Yep.
By doing what?
By taking this, it's a green coffee extract. It's just a supplement I got at Walgreens, pretty cheap, and take a couple in the morning, you take a couple in the evening, and it's done a really good job of curbing my appetite, and when I do eat, I don't eat as much as I did, you know, like pig out and gourds and shit. So I've cut down how much I eat, not necessarily eating any healthier than I did. I'm just not snacking and eating a lot, and the pounds are coming off.
And what's this called again?
About, huh?
What's this called again?
It's green coffee extract.
Green
Java
coffee.
Slim is what Java Slim is the name of it. So yeah, it kind of perks you up too, but. Yeah, it's just there's natural herbs and vitamins and all that shit in it or whatever, and
yeah,
it's only like $9 or $10 for a bottle of 120, so it lasts, you know, over a month. But I think this is my third month, and yeah, I haven't had to exercise or really change much on, you know, my eating. It just doesn't. You know, I get full a lot quicker. And I got another 15 to 20 pounds to go, and I'll be back to my weight that I was in college. So.
Cool.
Hell yeah.
I think I need to take this stuff because I've gained like 25 pounds in the last few months.
Stress, boy, stress.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you just go to Walgreens. It's over there with all the other weight loss stuff, and it's just called Java Slim. And it takes a while to, you know, I dropped like 5 pounds the first week, and then it was like a month and a half still just staying at the same weight. I didn't gain any weight, but I didn't lose any weight.
Yeah.
And then in this last month, just about every week I'm losing weight. I've lost 5 pounds since last Sunday. I've lost 4 or 5 more pounds. So yeah, I'm pretty pumped. Slim and trimming, baby. I will be the sex symbol.
No.
No, yes.
You can't have my title.
Oh, yes. I'll make my own title.
Well, see, now you're just trying to be like me.
I'll be the paranormal sex god.
No, see, I've already trademarked all that.
No. No.
Yes, I did.
No. But anyways, trying to think if there's anything else going on. I had a pretty just laid-back weekend of sitting on my butt watching TV. Did absolutely nothing.
That's about the same here.
After a long week of work, that's all I felt like doing.
Right? Well, I know all about that. Oh.
So that's
60 hour.
Why?
So these 60 hour weeks are about to kill me.
Oh yeah. I can imagine.
Anyway. Yeah, that's what that's leading to, right there. But Outlaw and I were talking about on the, you know, before the show went on the air, next weekend I am actually going to be attending the Texas Frightmare Weekend over in Dallas. And I'm there. I'm going to be going there to meet one of my heroes, the spaceman himself, Mr. Ace Frehley, from the original guitar player from Kiss. I'm trying to see who all else is going to be. It's like a whole slew of people that are going to be there.
And what is this for? What is this that you're going to?
Texas Frightmare Weekend. It's a like a horror film conference. And I'm not going to lie, the majority of the guests there are people I've never heard of. Like, well, it said featured guest, George A. Romero. Apparently he was in the original Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I've seen that, but I don't know who he was. Apparently he was also in Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, The Crazies, Creep Show. Also a featured guest is Tobin Bell, who's, I guess he was in Saw, which I never saw that. The guys from Fear Clinic are going to be there. And Fear Clinic, actually, and one of the members of Fear Clinic that's also attending is Corey Taylor, the lead singer of Slipknot and Stone Sour.
Yeah.
And let's see who. Some people from The Terminator are going to be there. Michael Biehn. He was the protector in the first one. Linda Hamilton will be there, as will Robert Patrick and Christina Loken. A couple of people from The Creature from the Black Lagoon will be there, and members from the horror series Hellraiser, and a couple people from Walking Dead, which I've still never seen a single episode. Folks from Alien. Apparently there was a show called Repo, the Genetic Opera, but I've never heard of it. The original trio from the Blair Witch Project are going to be there. Featured guests, a bunch of folks I've never heard of. Linda Blair is going to be there.
Great.
You know, she was in The Exorcist. I'd be interested in meeting her. With my main man, Ace Frehley. Let's see. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister will be there. Michael Parks. He played the sheriff in the first From Dusk Till Dawn movie. Tim Morga, who has played both Jason and Michael Myers, will be there.
Mm-hmm.
Twiggy Ramirez from Marilyn Manson's going. And of course, Dee Snider, like I said. And the rest, I have no idea who they are.
Cool. Well, on the show tonight, our guest is Jason Stanton. He's a paranormal researcher that has been investigating for over 15 years. He's been studying different theories over the years. And for the last 2 years, Jason has also been a radio show host, and he's also an author. And from what my dentist told me, he's also referred to as the Paranormal Rebel.
So the Paranormal Rebel is going to meet the Paranormal Outlaw tonight.
Cool.
I believe we got him on hold here.
Oh, we do?
I think so.
And I'm trying to get him through.
You there, Jason?
I'm here.
There we
go. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just hanging out. That's about all. So, what's going on?
Do what?
So what's up? What's good?
Oh, nothing. Jeff was talking about the event he's going to next weekend.
He's going to meet his
weekend.
Yeah, he's going to meet his hero, Ace Frehley.
Cool. Cool.
Yes.
Ace Frehley up 4 towns away from me.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The whole Kiss band.
Awesome.
They actually rehearsed. They rehearsed about 40 miles away.
Nice.
Eric Carr, the old drummer, I've actually investigated the cemetery he's buried at.
Oh, wow, that's cool. Any results on that?
No, I didn't get nothing from there.
Nah.
Nothing from there. But, hey, it is what it is. Maybe next time I'll be able, next time I go in, I'll
right.
be able to chat with Eric.
There you go. That's cool. If I was at Carr's grave and I was asking questions, I'd have to just ask point blank, did Gene and Paul cancel your health insurance when they learned you got cancer?
That would be kind of
nice. Always helps. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but I do know there were, well, they're old, much older than me, but I do know pretty good partiers back in the day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm sure, Jeff, you're going to be buying Paul Stanley's new book.
I already got the audio book. I've already heard it.
Oh, audio. You lazy. You can't even read.
When the hell do I have time?
They can pop the TV right now, all right.
I'm working 12 hours a day. Shit, I don't have time to sit down and read. When I'm at home, I eat and sleep. Occasionally, I'll work a shower in there somewhere.
Well, that's always a good thing. We haven't seen any biological warfare going on.
Right?
Jason, where are you from? Where are you living at?
New York. I live in New York.
Nice.
That's all right. I wouldn't say nice. But it's calm, I guess.
Oh, man. So you've been doing the paranormal for over 15 years, right?
That's right. A little too long, I think.
What kind of got you wanting to get involved in the paranormal?
No, well, back when I was 14, 15 years old, 1991 was going a long time ago, my parents moved into the town out in the middle of nowhere. Very specific, the farmland, so forth and so on. And the house was old. You can tell by looking at it. You know, it was made out of old steel stone. And, you know, the roof had that old kind of structural design to it, whatever the case may be. And across the street, there's a cemetery. I've always been fascinated with cemeteries, ever since I was a little boy. But, anyway, about 2 weeks after moving in, you know, some weird things started happening. You hear footsteps, and, you know, we had, at one time, I'm guessing it was probably the dining area. My parents turned it into a, you know, a game room. We had a pool table in there, a dartboard, and, you know, we had bookshelves that were, you know, built into the wall, and they had them filled with books. And when I was sitting down one night just watching TV, and one of the books kept falling off the shelf under the pool table. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? This is all messed up. Whatever the case may be. But back then I was also, which makes me question everything, even to this day, I was also a big stoner. I was a teenager. Who the hell wasn't a stoner at a teenage year?
Right.
That happened. Times I was like, man, I just smoked some good shit. I must have. Must have. Anyway, it never stopped. I mean, every once in a while, you know, I'd get all night alone, hanging out, watching TV, and, you know, it would just keep falling off this a particular book. I can't remember which one it was, but it was definitely kind of freaking me out. And then, you know, I started, you know, checking into it more and stumbled across a couple of little stupid things, you know, the idea of using substances and, you know, EVP, so forth and so on. You know, just accidentally stumbling upon them. And that kind of bent me off the paranormal genre.
Cool. Yeah, when I got involved in it, it was more of the Ghost Hunters was on TV, and I'd watch it, and I'd go, you know, I want to know if this crap that they're doing on TV, if it's actually real, what's going on, you know? So that's when I decided to join a team, and I'm one of these people, I have to see it to believe it. Well, it wasn't long after I started getting into the paranormal that things started happening. I started seeing things, you know, crazy stuff happening.
Well, a lot of shit on TV isn't real, guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yes.
You know, sometimes they do let out a nugget of truth, and that's okay.
So me and Jeff, the paranormal, has been like that ever since. We've seen a lot of crazy stuff. It's not stuff we came on seeing. It's just stuff that happens, you know?
Yeah. What kind of crazy shit are we talking about? Are we talking about, you know, ghostly boobs hanging out or nuggets or what kind of crazy shit are we talking?
Well, when we first got involved in it, the team we were on, he kind of had this style. He was a war rock, so kind of military style, you know. He was a big provoker, you know. He provoked everything. We were at a residential case in Oklahoma, and he, you know, just provoked, and there was something going on there, obviously, because of all the stuff talking to the family and then some of the stuff that we were getting. And he provoked it so much that I went down into this bed, to the main bedroom, and walked in, and it felt like it was an ice cooler. And I was filming everybody else walking down the hallway, and one of the team members, he had a K2 meter, and it started just pegging out, you know, going back and forth from no lights all the way up to red. And when that started happening, you just see him. It looked like something just sucked the life out of him, and his legs buckle, and he kind of falls into the doorway.
Yeah.
And we run over and say, dude, what's going on? And about that time, just like this gust of energy, it like hit me in the back, my neck jerked back, and me and two of the investigators that were standing in that doorway got shoved, pushed, thrown, however you want to put it, but we were 4 or 5 feet out in the hallway.
Really?
And then a little bit later, the entire room filled up with a sulfur smell, and it got pretty crazy, but yeah.
Did any of you, you know, happen to fart?
My farts don't smell like sulfur, though. They smell like roses.
Anyway.
You got the odor-free panties on, huh? It's all good. It's all good. But that's what happens when you provoke. You really shouldn't provoke, to be honest with you. Exactly what the hell you're up against. You have no idea. And you know, you're challenging something that you're going to lose. You can't see it. So, I mean, that's like putting on a twister suit and getting into a fight with Mike Tyson. You know, just spinning the spinner and smacking you around. You know what I mean? It ain't going to work. You know, I mean, I don't encourage provoking at all.
Yeah. See, that was the thing. See, we didn't know. We didn't know any better. And, of course, we were part of a group. And at that point, we really didn't like the way the group was going, the direction. And that case in particular was kind of like the turning point in my mind of me not wanting to be part of that group. And eventually I quit, and it was like a snowball effect. Everybody else started quitting. And I formed another group, and majority of them came with me. And, of course, we did things a lot different from that. We didn't go in, you know, provoking, you know, because we for one thing, at that point, we knew nothing about anything. You know, we didn't know anything about if there's a malevolent spirit there, if there's a demonic, what's a demonic, what, you know, all that stuff that you have to learn being in the paranormal, and what's believable and what's not, and all depends on your belief system. And so we did a lot of research and studying and talked to a lot of other people that's been in the field a lot longer than us. And through that and our experiences, that's where we are today. But, yeah, I damn sure wouldn't go in a place, especially someone's home, and start talking shit. I don't live there.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You go in there to investigate, you piss this thing off, and you look at the client and say, all right, I'll see you in about a week. Yeah, that ain't cool. Getting into the dogs, you know, that ain't cool at all. But that's cool you got out of that. I mean, sometimes you got to learn the hard way. The provoking isn't—it's not. I don't encourage it at all. I don't tolerate it. I may touch a nerve every once in a while, but that's totally different than provoking.
Yeah, there's ways of getting reactions from spirits without necessarily going full violent, provoking, you know, yelling and screaming kind of thing. There's ways of doing it that they're forms of provoking, but they're not extreme. You know, you can do reenactments. You can fire a blank gun if there was some kind of murder with a gun to see if you can spark something, you know, or you go, well, I bet you can't move that ball from there to there, you know, those kind of things. But yeah, I don't like it either. We were at a location down Yorktown Memorial Hospital in South Texas with another team, and they were like, oh yeah, we don't provoke, blah 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 blah, and you know, there's something very, very nasty down in that basement of that hospital, and you know, every team that's been there knows about it and has encountered it, and so you know not to go down in that basement. And if you start talking shit to the entity down there, you're going to have a bad night, because you're going to piss it off, and it's going to be up your ass the rest of the time you're there. And we went down the basement, and this team, With my team standing there, within 30 seconds of starting an investigation, started provoking, talking shit. And yeah. I was like, as the founder, I'm like, oh, shit. Now, how am I going to get, you know, we were invited down here as guests of them, and now they're provoking. Now, how am I going to get my team out of this situation? So I just said, hey, I'm going to take my team to the other end of the basement, and we'll see what's going on down there while y'all are in this room. And they're like, okay. And we go down the other end, and one of the guys is a medium, and he saw the demonic force. He saw him walk out of the wall with his glowing eyes, kind of look at him, and smiled, and he said, this is going to be fun. And then he said, you see him walk down the hallway into the wall where they're at. And right after he walks through that wall, we hear them go, oh, shit, what the fuck? And just stuff started happening in there. So, yeah, that's not a great thing to experience.
No, you definitely got to stray away from that sort of scenario. But you also got to take the good with the bad. Research and respect, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, in your times investigating, have you noticed that you get better results if you're just yourself? And
yeah.
You go into these places.
I always encourage people just to, you know, be who they are, and if there's anything in there, they'll come out and chat with you if they like you. I've always compared it to like a dude trying to pick up a chick in a bar. You go in there, you be yourself, you try to have a good time, and if a chick likes you, she's going to let you use your tool on her. And it's the same thing. And it's the same thing. If you go in there and you be yourself, you attract the entities that way, and then you use your tools to try to document it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the trouble is my tools don't work half the time.
Well, there's Viagra. They have pills for that.
Good evening, everybody, and I am here. By the way, this is Dennis. I'm running late. Wasn't really expecting to be in. Kevin, I don't know what the hell's going on with Matt. I haven't heard from him, brother, but I jumped in to help you out and make sure that your back's covered. So what we
do.
Plus, I want to talk to Jason and give him some shit. Now, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong. We've spoken a time or 12. You've never been to St. Albans, have you?
Say that again?
I said you've never been to St. Albans, have you?
I have not been to St. Albans. I will be there Friday. I can't wait to get down there. The you know, the rumors that I've heard, the different types of activities that's been, you know, told to me by many teams, many different teams. I've spoken to, you know, I'm very good friends with Marcel, the owner. You know, so I've spoken to her about the history, the other types of activity that goes on there. I mean, I honestly, I can't wait to get down there. And you were just down there this weekend, huh?
Yeah, actually, I'm still on my para hangover, so forgive me if I sound like shit.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Discipline issues, you know.
I'm going to suffer from that pretty badly when I get back, because I got to drive all the way the fuck down there, do what I got to do, and then drive all the way the fuck back.
I recommend a nap in between, brother. And I'll tell you, wear comfortable shoes. Everything in this place is either upstairs or downstairs. I don't care if you're going to a room on the same fucking level. You're going to find steps to get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got out of my truck when I got back home. I got out of my truck. Like, my driveway is cut off from curb line by a chain link fence to keep the dogs in the backyard. I got out of the truck to walk over the chain link and almost went down like a cripple because my legs went, no, dude, fuck this. We've had enough. So I walked across the road looking like I got a corn cob shoved up my ass trying to make myself stay vertical.
Damn.
But I'll tell you what, you're no provoking, you know, there's a few nerves in there to hit, but there are definitely some areas that you don't want to provoke. And in one of the stories that they gave us, we dealt with all volunteers that kind of run the location. And
yeah.
Jessica is kind of, well, from what I can gather, well, they kept calling her boss lady, so I'll assume Jessica is like the head volunteer.
Yeah.
One of the stories that she told us was one of the, I think it was a production person or something. I kind of got distracted because I kept seeing shit moving where shit shouldn't be moving. But she said he was a fairly large gentleman on the, like, second or third step up on the grand staircase.
Yeah.
And he literally got launched in the air and about 10 feet forward and caught himself on the door jamb on the way out the door.
Really?
And just picked his ass up and threw him. One of the others that I spoke to that is a volunteer there, but he does kind of security. And while we were doing our overnight, he would walk the perimeter and et cetera. He said he was walking through one of the main corridors and got bear hugged and said it was everything he could do to breathe.
Really?
So, I mean, the place is definitely alive, but now they, you know, last night we did our overnight investigation, and, you know, it's been said 1,000 times that the energy that you bring is the energy that you get. I was pretty much flat-ass exhausted. I had been up since 7:30 yesterday morning. Only had about 4 hours sleep. So I took in kind of tired, lethargic energy, and that's pretty much what I got back. Now, the other team that we actually had 11 people go through for the overnight. So we split in teams of 5 and 6. The other team was much younger than my antiquated ass, and they had a lot more energy. And they said they had shit going off left and right.
Now, what kind of equipment walked around with?
Well, for me, I walked around the majority of the night with a K2 and the Mel. Of course, you know, I don't go anywhere, well, except the bathroom. And even in that place, I took a recorder with me in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, we played with the Spirit Box, you know, had the SB7 out, we had K2s out. I set up my night vision static with, now I have a electric-powered laser grid, and I shot it down one of the main corridors, which, for those that don't know me, I am CPR Dallas. I do remote views, which is part of why Jason has asked me to join him next weekend on the event at St. Albans. I'm going to speak about remote viewing and attachments.
Yeah.
But I did a small remote view on this location. I met a woman midway down the hallway. She was in a long white gown, like brunette hair just below her armpits. Older woman, sunken in face, and she was all ecstatic that we were coming to see her, and then she just wouldn't leave me the hell alone. Well, finally, I just, I mean, during my remote view, she followed me all over.
She wanted to see your tools.
Apparently. But I couldn't make sense of half of what the hell she was saying. So when I get there, of course, I'm talking to Jessica, and you know, she at the onset had no idea who I am just by face. And then when I told her my name was Dennis, you know, you could see the little light bulb go off, and she caught on who I was. And then I told her that I had done just a kind of mini remote view in there just to see what I was going to look for when I actually got there.
Yeah.
And she started laughing when I told her about, I ran into some woman in a white gown, and she goes, well, we're not real sure on her name, but yeah, you'll find her all over the place, and she's chatty as hell. I didn't even get the chance to tell her that I couldn't shut this woman up to tell her to get the hell away from me.
Yeah.
But it, you know, and then while we had all 11 of us together, plus 4 volunteers, we're down in the bowling alley. I always distance myself a little bit from everybody else just because I'm kind of ghost bait. I don't know why, it just works that way. So I'm standing maybe 3, 4, 5 feet away from the closest person that's to the group, and they're kind of all huddled together. And all of a sudden, everybody stops dead in their tracks what they're saying, and like 4 flashlights turn and come at me. I'm like, yeah, that was her. And I just kind of pointed over my shoulder. I'm like, I don't know who the hell it was, but I heard her too. And everybody's like, that's exactly what we wanted to know, was did you hear her? And I'm like, yeah, she's right over my shoulder, and I don't know what the hell she said, but I'll tell you what, she's really close behind me. As they're looking, they see a shadow move out of the doorway and disappear down the hallway. That was only a couple of more feet to my right behind me. So they were definitely there. They were definitely aware that we were there. While I'm sitting outside in the parking lot, like we had a specific time frame that we were supposed to be on site.
Yeah.
I've got my niece with me. My niece has been on one other investigation with me and didn't really get any excitement on that investigation. Now, last night we're sitting in the truck. She had just unplugged her phone. I've got the head unit in my truck. Can take Pandora.
Yeah.
So we're listening to music in the truck. We've both got the doors open, just kind of relaxing after a couple hour, well, almost 4 hour drive. And so it goes dead silent for a moment. And I hear this little girl talking. And I looked at my niece, and she looked at me and goes, what the hell was that? And I went, I don't know, but I think it's right beside me. And she goes, yeah, it sounded like it was right outside your door talking to you. Well, yeah, okay. So it wasn't just me. I'm good.
Look, Matt has joined us.
That was broad daylight, dude.
Dennis, Matt has joined us.
Well,
it's about time.
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hello.
It's about time.
I apologize for my tardiness. I definitely apologize. Literally everything in that, I can't even blame anything. It's all my fault. So.
Well, yeah, you can't even. Well, go ahead, blame me, dude. I don't give a shit. Everything else that's screwed up around my life is usually my fault. So I'll take the blame for this one too, bro. I'm good.
Well, for the, like, Dennis, you know, and Kevin, you know, Jason and Jeff, you guys don't know, on Friday I got in a motorcycle accident on the way to work. Not anything major, not anything serious, just back end washed out. The bike was fine. I'm a little bit more beat up than the bike. Well, and doing day-to-day life stuff, I was, you know, taking care of the house, doing a bunch of crap today. The soreness and the pain started to hit me, so about 1:30 I took a Norco, and last thing I know, it was lights out about 2 o'clock, and I just woke up while my phone was ringing. So, I apologize. Took a little nap.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's all good. We understand the drug addiction, brother.
Yeah. Funny thing, Dennis, is that is an opiate, and when we started going back in conversation, you busted me out joking around with somebody that I had never talked to, saying that you were talking to me on the phone about my crack addiction.
And
no, everybody, I do not have a crack addiction. It's a hobby, okay? It's not an addiction. No, I don't do crack either.
He looks at crack.
It can't be an addiction. I can't afford it.
Well, I tried to call you last night, Matt. I left. Well, when I left home, between me and Radford, where St. Albans is, there's a little town called Bedford. Are you familiar what was happening in Bedford, Virginia yesterday?
Yeah.
It was a VA Paraquest. Well, there was this strange dude there. I saw him on the list. His name is Copperhead. So I stopped in and I talked to Copperhead for about an hour just shooting the shit.
Yeah, I saw the post on Facebook that that you were happy to meet up with him and talk for a little while. So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I told him that you know, we need to get him and Michelle and Rebecca back on the show. They're good with that. So, right now that Matt is in, if y'all are good with it, you can excuse me. I can go get dinner and take my ass to bed.
There you go.
Sounds
good. With that, Kevin?
I am good.
I will leave the outlaw and the rebel and apparently the narcotics addict to enjoy the rest of the show.
Yes. Oh,
I'm just
going to
sit back and listen and eat my dinner.
For everybody too, it is out of my system, so I'm not going to be all weird and stupid. Well, not any worse than I normally am. So, but
did it change your personality?
No, I guess not.
We'll go grab some dinner, Dennis, and get some rest.
Well, hey, I do have one other story for you, and this revolves around St. Albans last night. Now, anybody that knows me knows that when I prepare for an investigation, I make sure that all my rechargeables are charged. Extra batteries for the video cameras. I have like the small purple velvet Crown Royal bags full of batteries. The AA, AAA. We went into an area last night that is quote-unquote, the no-go room. There's an area that leads into an attic that they won't let anybody in and actually has a deadbolt on it. So, of course, my dumbass has to go sit in that room, put my back to the wall right beside this door that's bolted.
Yeah.
The story that I got was the reason that this room is, you know, we don't want you in there, it leads back into the attic. You kind of have to move across the floor joist. And when we were back in there as volunteers looking to see what all we could find in the building, blah, 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 we came across something that was very pissed off, very negative, and we just don't want people in there. Okay, well,
okay.
I'm cool. Right? You don't want them to fall through the joist and shit. Do you think the padlock's going to keep it in? No, that's not the purpose. It's to keep us out. If it decides to come out, it can come out. Okay.
Yeah.
So me being the asshole I am, well, first it started with Stephen Dills, who runs Transcend Paranormal and invited me to go with him, which, thank you, Stephen. I had a blast, brother. He starts out at the door, and he's like doing the, you know, finish this, and nothing. And he's like, all right, well, Dennis, see what you can do. So I go over, and I sit with my back right beside the door, and I'm like, all right, asshole, if you're in there and you're all this badass and everything, finish this. And I beat on that door doing, you know, shaving a haircut.
Yeah.
Nothing. About 3 seconds after I beat on that door, it dawned on me, what am I going to do if he beats back on the door as hard as I did? And I looked at Stephen and I go, you know, if he responds as hard as I knocked, I'm landing in your lap, dude. He goes, the fuck you are, I'm throwing you away while I'm running that way. But anyway, my batteries and everything in that room, I have 4 spare memory cards for my H2, anywhere from, you know, last resort 2 gigs to 16 gig cards. 3 of them told me card full. 1 of them told me card read fail. What the hell? Then my full spectrum camera battery goes dead. We're only in the room 10 minutes. I'm like, all right, something is definitely weird. So then my recorder shuts off with dead battery. I'm like, all right, I just changed all this shit downstairs. Pulled brand new batteries for everything. I've made sure that all of my memory cards are formatted and clean and ready for use. Nothing would work. I got back downstairs where we had staged everything.
Yeah.
I turned on my full spectrum camera, the video camera. That battery is full. It's working fine. The recorder is working fine, showing 8 gigs available. The recorder that the batteries had died in shows full battery. So I sat upstairs literally with 3 recorders that I could not use. The full spectrum video camera that wouldn't function, all in that one room, but everywhere else that I went in the building last night, everything worked fine, and I didn't do a damn thing to any of that equipment. Fortunately, I'm anal, and I always carry several recorders with me. And, you know, I've got a little camera bag that I load all my gear in to walk around with. So I had a total of 5 recorders on me. So I do have recorded evidence, you know, audio out of that room. But it was just strange. All of a sudden, all of my memory cards are reading either full or card read fail. And it was only in that room. So I think what I'm going to do is take you into that room, Jason, next weekend, and I'm going to make a blood sacrifice and see how it works for us. I mean, it's going to be your blood. Believe me, I don't need to bleed much more. I'm a contractor, dude. I cut myself all the damn time.
Yeah. I know that feeling.
So you're good with that idea?
I would appreciate that, though.
So you're not so good with that idea. I mean, come on, dude. It's all in the name of science. How can you not be in favor of it?
I mean, like I said, I mean, I've got no problems, but I don't want to, I mean, something like that, if you're going to make a sacrifice or anything like that, some kind of blood sacrifice, you're opening the door of something that could be seriously harmful towards whatever guest happens to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was only joking. I'm not really going to make a blood sacrifice, brother. I was only joking. I just wanted to see how you'd respond.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is definitely the strangest room in the whole building. Just the energy in that room, and it felt kind of hard to breathe in that room. The air just felt real heavy. And it was kind of a crisp night outside. It was about 55 or so outside. So it's a little crisp, but that room just felt really warm. There was just no air in there. And, like, the window and the door, there's an outside door going to the fire escapes. It's broke out. So you've got, you know, full air through there.
We just lost our guest.
He hung up on us?
He's back. Hang on.
Wait, Dennis, what was the...
Are you there? Are you there, Jason?
Yeah, I hit the wrong button on my phone.
Jason, I do that a lot when Dennis is talking. I don't blame you.
It's just crazy.
Hey, Dennis, real quick, was there what was that room used for?
It was one of the quote unquote dorm rooms, is my understanding, back when it was a boys' school. Now, it originally opened as a boys' school, which, ironically, everybody is familiar with Virginia Tech, and they've taken, you know, countless state championships and everything else in football. The boys' school that originally opened it at St. Albans had actually beaten Virginia Tech back in the day. So, and that was just one of the bedrooms. But strange-ass energy in there. I don't know what went on in there, but strange shit. But
I definitely
that's the end of my strange
story.
Jason, you and I are going to have a blast, brother. I promise you that.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're like me, but every time that there was a quote-unquote negative addiction room, like the boiler room, apparently there have been two guys killed down there, one through electrocution and one had a heart attack. There was also a female down there, I guess, that was brutally beaten. But one of the guys down there supposedly liked cigarettes, so they're, you know, the whole team is like, oh, well, we'll definitely send Dennis in there. Okay, I'm good. I smoke. I understand that you want to send Dennis in there. And then there was the quote-unquote alcohol treatment room. Oh, we definitely need to send Dennis in there. Which, by the way, I did see something in that room that I cannot for the life of me understand.
A bar?
No. No. It's just this big-ass empty room that has, like, three small rooms off to the side of it. A doorway, like from where I was sitting, there was a doorway off to my left. There was a hallway straight ahead of me with a bathroom right off the doorway out to the hallway. It just, I don't know, brother. It was strange. Myself and two others actually saw a small white, I mean, at first I thought it was like a cat, but it would have had to have been like a freaking Himalayan or something, one of them big fat-ass cats.
Yeah.
It popped out of this doorway off to my right-hand side, stopped, and as soon as we spotted it, I started to point to it, and Steve, sitting immediately on my left, goes, holy shit, and this thing turned and bolted down that long hallway.
Yeah.
I hit flashlight on it, didn't see a damn thing. By the time I, you know, pulled my flashlight out of my pocket and lit up, it was already gone. But here's the jacked up thing. In the doorway that it had to run through, leaving this room, I had my K2 meter and a recorder sitting on the side of the doorway on the floor. There was another K2 on the other side of the doorway. My K2 didn't make a single blip. My recorder didn't pick up a single sound. Okay, well, if it's a cat, possum, raccoon, any damn thing you can think of, we should be able to find it. Once you go through that doorway, it goes back into like a little locker room. There is no exit over there. There's no holes in the walls. There's no way for any creature to get out. We didn't find a damn thing, but three of us watched this thing.
Yeah.
And not a single sound came out of it, but three of us saw it, and we described exactly the same damn thing. We knew what the hell we saw. We just don't know what it was. Well, then we started talking to one of the dudes that does volunteer there, and he shows us pictures that he was snapping around towards that area of the building. And he has, like, this big ball of light coming around the corner of the doorway. And it looked almost identical to what we saw. I mean, we're sitting in a pitch-black room, and see, like, this little white thing come around the corner. I'm like, what in the hell? So there's definitely some shit in that building. You know that moment when you're watching a horror flick, and you know somebody's about to get killed and your whole spine just kind of stands on edge? That building will do it to you in hundreds of places. Just the energy there is crazy.
I cannot wait until I get down there.
So if you're anywhere near the Virginia area, definitely look up Jason Stanton. Look up the event that he is putting on this weekend, this coming weekend at St. Albans. I'll be there. Tara Perfetti Street will be there. I'm not sure who else you have, brother, but I'm telling you.
Kathy Sellers coming down there. She's another psychic and a photojournalist. That's really all I have. I mean, I've got a couple members of my team coming down. They're going to help out. I've got Marcel's going to be speaking about, you know, some of the activity that has been claimed, and there's also going to be Jessica's going to be chatting about the history. So, what's your volume on?
Well, I'll tell you, if you can see clear to get your butts to St. Albans this coming weekend, you need to be there. This place is off the charts. And for $65 to spend all day listening to, you know, all the different speakers that are going to be there, the history on the location, and the overnight investigation, oh, hell yeah. I paid $40 last night just for the investigation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's damn well worth it. All right, that's the end of my spiel. Gentlemen, my food is sitting in front of me. It's 10 o'clock. I have not eaten today. My inner fat kid is revolting. Well, no, he's not revolting. He's having a revolt. Oh, my inner fat kid's pissed off and wants to know who slit my throat.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go feed my inner fat kid. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to me. Jason, kick ass, brother, and I'll see you this coming weekend. Thanks for letting me interrupt, brother.
Definitely. Well, I'll definitely see you this weekend. It's going to be a great time, like I said, and not to mention, it's going to be awesome being able to actually finally shake your hand. And I'm sure we'll have a good time.
Yeah, I won't shake hands, dude. I don't know where yours have been. I'm kidding, brother. I'm kidding. It's all good. You'll be safe coming down here and Steven coming down. Definitely drive safe. Anybody else that's coming in, be safe. We look forward to seeing you at St. Albans. CPR Dennis saying goodnight. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Talk to you later.
All right. And then the silence.
Well, you sound all right. I was waiting for you to talk.
Getting back to what we were talking about, you're going to be at St. Albans this weekend.
Yes.
Cool. And is it just a one-day deal, or does it start Friday, or what's the date?
It's just a one-day. It's just on May 3rd. You know, like I said, I'll be there all day. So, I mean, if anyone wants to come in and chat, so forth and so on. There's also a historical tour during the day that, you know, they typically put on, which is always pretty cool. And, you know, like I said, if anyone wants to come in, hang out, chat, you know, I'm bringing, you know, copies of my book down, so you can definitely get those there if you want. And then, like I said, you have a bunch of speakers coming in. They're going to be chatting about, you know, what they do, and, you know, you get to hear me speak there. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'll definitely be speaking there. And you know, you get a nice, cool investigation afterwards.
Cool. What are some of the other locations that you've been to that that you and your guys have had some pretty cool experiences in?
Oh, I've done Letchworth Village. I've done Middletown Psych Center. I've done London Knights House. I've done, you know, I've been in a lot of cool places where we've gotten some amazing activity.
That's cool. I know, is that all up in your area?
Well, most of them are, yes. But,
yeah,
you know, London lives in Virginia, so, you know, I've investigated there. And I've investigated in South Carolina a few times.
Yeah. I've done Arkansas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and of course Texas, where I live at. So, all south.
Nothing wrong with that.
You guys have a lot better than I do as far as locations, accessibility to locations. It's hard in the Midwest to get into a lot more of the notoriously quote unquote haunted places.
Yeah, that's right here.
Yeah, I mean, even New York, New Jersey, they're a lot more receptive than they are around here in, you know, Chicago, Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin. And I just don't go to Iowa. I don't like Iowa.
You go to Iowa?
Anyway. people in Iowa don't like Iowa. No, I'm just kidding. But no, there's it's hard to get into, you know, a lot of the famous places around here. I don't know if it's, you know, like museum curators or just, you know, building owners and stuff like that aren't receptive to getting into paranormal or letting somebody come in, even if they have stuff going on. But yeah, it definitely takes some string pulling to get into a lot of places around here.
Well, I think that's like that everywhere you go. It's kind of hard up here, too. You know, in my honest opinion, I don't think it's, you know, how good you are or what you know. It's who you blow to get into these places. So, I mean, it's pretty interesting to try to get into some, you know, awesome places.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Now, what kind of equipment do you like using when you go on an investigation? Of course, besides everybody's answer, the EVP recorder, because, you know, that's probably one of the best. One of the best, and your body, of course. But what are some of the things you like to use?
Well, I mean, it all depends on the type of location I'm at, in all honesty. I like using the basic. I still carry around a compass with me. You know, I've got a K2 meter I keep in my back pocket. But that's pretty much all it. I mean, you know, I've got pendulums, doing dowels and rods, so forth and so on. But, you know, your best course of action, in all honesty, is going to be a notepad and some basic stuff. You don't need anything extravagant because, too much to face it. I mean, taking notes and cross-referencing those notes with everyone else is after the next day is you're going to find a lot more
experiences that have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a guy in the home base. It depends on the location as well. But my dad is on my team, so he normally, if the place has a DVR system or if we bring ours, he'll sit there and watch the monitors, and he's got a notepad, and I'll have him timestamp personal experiences that we might have happen to us throughout the night through our walkie. But we normally just set up a static cam back where we got all of our equipment, you know, and stuff. When we take a break, people sit in front of that camera and they just talk about any kind of experience they just had, so that I kind of have a video log, you know, of all the personal experiences that I can show the owner or the client, whoever it might be. So, but yeah, you know, basic is I think with the world the way it is today, and we're so based on technology, you know, and there's a lot of cool things that have been developed for the paranormal, but, you know, not necessarily useful everywhere you go. To me, it seems like, and I got tons of equipment, it seems like every location, depending on what the spirits want to communicate, you know, you never know what device is actually going to be, you know, what they're going to communicate through. There's been places I've fired up SB7, got nothing, you know, and they're over there communicating with the mail meter and the K2 meter.
Yeah. Yeah, K2 meter's pretty good. Mail meter's pretty good.
They're both EMF meters.
I mean, in all honesty, I mean, one's a little bit more sensitive than the other, but it's just, basically just, a comfort thing, whatever you feel comfortable carrying around.
Yeah. I pulled out a compass one time and, one of the guys goes, "What in the hell's that?" I said, "It's a compass." I said, "It picks up on EMF too." I said, "If the thing starts spinning, it's picking up on the EMF field." And they were like, "Whoa!" I was like, I said, "There's nothing wrong with mixing a little bit of old school with a little bit of new school, you know."
You also can't go wrong with something that's physical versus something digital.
Hang on. Jason's back.
Jason, man, if you don't want to do the show, you don't have to keep hanging up on us. You can just say, "Hey, I gotta go."
I'm trying to get him back on air. He's my computer is just sitting here not wanting to put him back on.
I'm here.
Oh, you here? Okay.
Here.
All right.
I'm good.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, mix a little bit of old school and new school. There's nothing wrong with that, you know?
No, not at all. You got to do what you feel comfortable with. You know, everyone can feel comfortable in different situations and using different equipment. But, as I said before, I mean, the most important thing you got to do is bring your personality into it.
Who you are as a person is what's going to attract these things to you and get them to want to open up and chat with you.
If you can't bring that, there's not a piece of equipment in the world that's going to help you out, because they're not designed to look for ghosts. They're designed for even paranormal activities, well, my honest opinion. But, you use the equipment to document specific situations,
yeah.
And it's your personality to, try to get them attracted to you. So
they do open up and talk.
Yeah, you noticed in your investigating, have you noticed that you get more EVPs when you're not directly talking to the spirits? You might be talking to other members of your team, joking around, whatever it might be.
That does tend to happen a lot. And just an idea, throwing it out there, but I think it's because you're chatting with your buddies about basic day-to-day life, so forth and so on. And
that's what these things can relate with. They can relate with day-to-day life. And they want to try to jump into that particular conversation.
So, I mean, they throw little things out there to you can hear them, invite them in to you know, put in any kind of input that they may have with whatever you're discussing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, we've had spirits that have made fun of Jeff numerous times, which I think is hilarious. Jeff doesn't think
they
it's
suck.
Hilarious. But...
They suck.
Hey, you didn't like the spirit calling you fat?
Hell no.
You know me, I always like, Jason, I like when they're comical because it kind of really shows their personality, you know, when they're joking around on the EVP recorder.
Sometimes you do get jokesters. That does happen. I've gotten EVPs of a drunk guy once, and that was kind of fun. You know, he was just cracking off and laughing and having a good time. When I was down in London Night House, I tried every topic possible to get ghosts to talk, but the second I got sexual
in reference with London,
every device we had went haywire. We were talking about butt sex, we were talking about blowjobs and the whole nine yards. And, you know, the equipment would just keep going haywire. You know, I was like,
wow.
This thing like sex.
So what you're saying is you have investigated with Dennis before.
Yeah, again.
Since I know he's listening and he pokes fun at me when I'm not around, or if I'm listening and I'm not in, like if I get kicked off the board or something like that. So, yeah, I take the stabs when I can.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, and I've kind of noticed... I was talking to Matt about this here recently. You know, the TV shows have kind of started fading out, paranormal shows. You know, it's kind of gone through its phase. And I've kind of noticed that there's not as many what I call fly-by-night paranormal teams. Some of them shut down, whatnot, but it's kind of changed a little bit in the field, in my opinion, as far as that. As far as the drum and all that, the shit, that hadn't changed.
No, that's definitely all still there. The drum and the bullshit's there. The TV shows, yeah, those aren't.
The TV shows are fading out. A lot of people aren't watching them. Their ratings are dropping significantly. And I can guarantee it, within the next 2 or 3 years, most of them will even be canceled. That's
yeah.
What's left. A lot of them have been canceled already. But, you know, it's just a fad. I mean, with the TV shows, it's just a fad. People get into it. They watch it. They want the thrill. They want the excitement. After a while, they get bored. It's time to move on. So.
Yeah. Well, once the TV shows finally all fade out, maybe then we won't have clients that try to call us into their house because they want to be on the TV show because they think their house is on.
That would be nice. I don't think that would happen. It would be nice. But I can tell you what's going to happen, though, after the TV shows do fade out and everybody's pretty much well done in the paranormal community has gotten back down to just basic researchers and so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these places that we do go to, such as, you know, Rolling Hills Asylum, Pennhurst, Eastern State, those properties are going to wind up going up for sale, and someone, investors, is going to buy it, tear them down, and build low-income housing.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, they did that with part of Linda Vista over in California.
Yeah.
Part of it now is a retirement home. Which, yeah, me personally, I don't think I would put anybody in that retirement home, my parents or anybody like that, because they're going to get the shit haunted out of them. And that's not really where you want to put somebody that is trying to enjoy the last years of their life.
You know? Well, investors don't give a rat's ass. They just want the money. I mean, the same thing with
yeah.
these places.
such as Rolling Hills and so forth. Even now, all they want is the money. They don't care about anybody else. They don't care about any team that goes in there. They just want a paycheck, and that's what they're going to do to get it. So they're going to take advantage of people, and then, you know, after a while, like I said, an investor is going to come in. They're going to buy it. They don't care about anybody. They don't believe in ghosts or paranormal or anything like that. They're just going to rip it down, put up some kind of income housing-based thing, and that's going to be the end of it. Or a new shopping mall.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, I try to talk to teams that haven't been doing this as long as I have or some of the other people out there, and I try to tell them when they go to one of these locations where, you know, you pay money and you rent out the place and you have the building for the night, I said that's when a paranormal researcher, an investigator researcher should, you know the place is haunted, you know, obviously. If you go to Rolling Hills or you go to Trans-Allegheny, you know, hundreds and thousands of teams have been through there. Well, you know the place is haunted. Why not use that to your advantage, Kate? There's spirits here. Let's test out some theories. Let's test out some experiments and see what we get, what kind of results we get, instead of just investigating the building the whole night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It would be interesting to see something like that, but no. It's what it is.
Yeah. They're still on the quest to get the holy grail of paranormal evidence, which, to me, I'm in the stage in my investigating. I've seen plenty to know that there's something going on. I don't need any holy grail evidence to make myself feel better or more popular, you know?
Yeah. My whole thing, what it is, I mean, there's more than enough evidence of ghosts out there. There's actually more evidence of ghosts than there is of fucking Bigfoot. Bottom line.
Yeah.
It's true. I don't look at evidence anymore as anything spectacular. You can show me a full-body apparition sitting at the bar having a drink with you. It doesn't impress me anymore. It doesn't. What I want to see, what I want to know is, what exactly is that in the picture? Why is it there? And what is the genetic makeup of it? Let's start figuring out these things. Let's move past trying to prove the existence of ghosts. I think we've done that already.
Mm-hmm.
We have to move forward.
Now, I'm to the point now, I'm like you, I want to know, okay, this, whatever's here in the room with me just moved this object across the room. How in the fuck did they do that? Because they had to do something, you know, had to manipulate the environment in order to make that ball move when they don't have a physical body. How the fuck are they doing it? You know?
And that's the problem with a lot of the people in the community anymore. They don't go ahead and try to research or test any or run any kind of, you know, things like that to try to figure it out. They just go in there and all they want is to snap off pictures, get some EVPs and say, look what I got. And if they don't have pictures, they'll download a phone app and put a ghost in the picture and say, look what I got. And then I got to look at it and say, dude, you're a fucking moron. Can I smack you? It's outrageous.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
You know, and
go ahead.
When it comes to paranormal investigations, when it comes to a private residence or one of the notoriously haunted places, I don't go in there looking for something. I'll go in there with the mentality of what can I figure out of why people are experiencing things. I don't go in there saying, oh, you know what, this place, it's haunted, let me see what I can capture. I'm walking in there saying, no, let me see what the hell I can figure out of why people are saying this place is haunted.
Right.
Well, that's a good mentality to have. It is. You do have to go in there and try to find those logical explanations. But you do also have to take those claims of activity seriously as well. If somebody says there's a demon in the house, I'm not big on demons. Personally, I don't think they exist. However, I have to take that seriously because I got to accept the fact that, yeah, I could be wrong. I could be 100% inaccurate by not believing in demons. So I go in there thinking, all right, there's no demons here, and then I'm unprotected, and then I don't care about any of that crap, so I want to get my ass kicked because of a whole theory. You know what I mean?
that ain't fair. But so I mean, you got to kind of look at it in the same aspect. You can go in there and truly go in there and try to find the logical explanation, and that's perfectly fine. That's 100% a good thing to do. But you also have to take those claims seriously so that, yeah, you are prepared in the event that, yeah, something in there could be harmful.
Yeah, and I completely agree with that.
Yeah, but, and that's the way you have to have mentality, especially when you're dealing with a client in a home. I totally get that. But what I'm saying, Matt, is when you pay money and you shell out and you get a location, you know, you got 8 hours, 12 hours, however long you get the building, you can do your what you're talking about as well, but at the same time, set up some fucking experiments, use the equipment that you got to document the environment or anything that's going to change. And, I mean, I fucking put a candle in the middle of a room and lit it because fire was something that the Indians used way before K2 meters or anything else. And they're very spiritual people, and they always did a lot of their stuff, their ceremonies, around the fire. So I use what God gave us, fire. Put a candle, lit it, put my K2 meters, all my equipment around it to measure the environment and see if I could get a spirit to manipulate that flame. So, I mean,
How effective was it?
We didn't get anything manipulated on the plane, but we actually got EVPs.
That's always good.
Personally, I think that every investigation shouldn't just be going in there to use what you have and, you know, like basically just go in there and try and get EVP and try and get this, that, and the other thing. I think because, the tools that we use are just devices. They're not, like Jason said, they're not for ghosts. It's just we adapt what we use them for our field and for our progress, and that's great. But I think every single investigation should be a different sort of experiment to try and use those tools in different ways, not just go in there and do the monotonous crap that, you know, you do every single time. Try different stuff. Try different, you know, different sayings, different, I mean, shaving a haircut, that's kind of played out, and personally, if I was dead and I heard shaving a haircut, I would laugh and say, what fucking year were you born, 1900? But, so.
Well, yeah, you know, and that's something that I always would do with my group was because, you know, the first couple years, you know, we did the just investigate, you know, the whole shebang, trying to get evidence. And then it got to the point where we had gotten so many under our belt, it was just like, okay, this is kind of getting repetitive and kind of getting kind of boring in my opinion because I'm not getting impressed with stuff. I've seen a bunch of shit. Well, I got more questions now. I know they exist. Okay, I want to know more about them. So I started inserting experiments in every one of our investigations when it comes to public places. Unless we have, if we're doing a public investigation with people from the public, depending on the location, sometimes we even did an experiment when they were there just to show them, you know, we're doing an experiment, and you can watch and observe and see if we get anything out of it. But, I even tried flashcards where had EVP or EVP, had questions that the investigators held up, and they had no idea what was written on that card because I had a sealed envelope, and I had an investigator hold them up to the camera, stay completely silent, and see if we get an answer to that question on the EVP recorder without actually saying anything. This will be fucking part. Yeah.
That's a very good experiment. I know a lot of people that have been working with that, just thinking about specific questions and seeing if you can get a response.
it's a good step in the right direction, if you want my honest opinion. I think more people need to be open to suggestions like that. I also think we also have to start thinking more about the equipment because, you know, like we said, this equipment wasn't designed for paranormal investigating. It was designed for other fields, you know, construction or, you know, things like that. So we start I think we have to start pinpointing exactly what kind of equipment do we need to use for this industry, for this field or case study of research, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm going to call out that always makes me laugh is if I'm doing, like, a collaborative investigation and I'll see a team that, oh, yeah, they're using this, that, and the other thing, but my favorite is when I see them using the thermal or the thermometer, but it's the laser thermometer.
Yeah.
And they're freaking the fuck out when they're getting, like, a 2-degree temperature change. Well,
one of the laser gun thermometers, they're a waste of money.
Oh, God.
They're not going to do nothing for you.
They're great, and you know what? I used to work HVAC. They're great for that. But, no, when it comes to paranormal investing, don't waste the $69 that they have on eBay and all that. Oh, that, seriously. With a stupid little thermometer.
The biggest problem with those people don't tend to realize is it doesn't take a temperature of an area. It takes a temperature of whatever that laser hits. So if you shoot it in a room, you're not taking the temperature of the room. You're taking the temperature of the wall that laser is.
Yeah.
Of course, the temperature on that is going to be completely different than in the center of the room. You feel a cold spot and you shoot the wall, it's going to be different. You're not going to get an accurate reading.
I have on video, speaking of with those laser deals, of course, I didn't have the laser part turned on. I was in a cemetery, and we were in one location where we had been going there numerous times and take new members and train them and just kind of see what they knew. And so I was in this section where we were always getting EVPs and things going on, people scratch, that, you know, everything. And I started talking, and I said, and I took a base reading, you know, around me as best you could being outdoors. And it was like 33 degrees for the most part, between 33, 32, 34 in that area. And I kept saying, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. If it's a yes, I want you to knock it down a degree. If it's a no, you know, don't change the temperature. I talked to a spirit for 30 minutes, and I got that temperature, and I did. My arm was killing me by the end of this because I didn't move it, and I stood still for 30 minutes talking to a spirit, and I got it from 33 all the way down to 12 degrees in that one spot.
Yeah.
1 degree at a time. And then when I was done, it went back up to 33. You know, so it was pretty crazy, but yeah, we have those things too. Of course, we got them at Harbor Freight, but I tell them, don't turn the damn beam on. Just use it to try to get you, you know, a semi-base temperature. They're not really that great for that. They're used for cars. But, you know, they'll turn on that damn beam and shoot it. Oh, it's 72. I said, no, that's that temperature of the fucking wall you're pointing at.
Yeah. People like them, though. They'll trust them. I don't know why.
Well, you know, that's just like the K2 meter. It was, you know, something the electricians use to find wiring in a wall. That's all it is.
K2 meters, any kind of mess meter. That qualifies, you know, K2 to drive still digitally EMF, even the millimeter. Yes, the millimeter was designed by a person to look for his stepdaughter. I agree with that. I know that. That's 100%. But no matter which way you cut it, it's still a fucking EMF meter.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember being at an event a couple years back, and there was a bunch of teams there, and we were in this location, and they were back by the – it was in this bar that was in this old-ass building, probably late 1800s, and the bar, a restaurant, and they were caught down this hallway by these bathrooms. and they had the cables on, and they're like, oh, my God, we got something. And I was like, what? And I walk up, and their K2 meter is almost pegged all the way to red, and it's not moving. Well, there's my first red flag. If it's not moving, you're getting a solid signal. That ain't a spirit. Spirits don't work that way. They're flashing, doing all kinds of shit when they do it. But it was solid, so I grabbed that meter out of their hand, and I said, hold on. So I start putting it up against the wall and going up and down, and they were picking up on the wiring in the wall. And this was a paranormal thing. Had no knowledge of what that was, how to use a K2 meter.
The best thing to do with a K2 meter, set it down and step the fuck away.
Yep.
Step away about a good, anywhere from 3 to 5 feet at least, And that's the best way to use a K2 meter.
Yeah.
You shouldn't walk around with it too much. Why? Because if you shake it,
I don't know where it is, but if the K2 moves, it's not it can disrupt whatever you're trying to pick up.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing with them, too, is they tell everybody to do this because it started to bother me on why it would act different in different situations. Put your K2 meter in the freezer for an hour and then pull it out and do your own house. So, seriously, try that. And you'll be amazed on how different it reacts. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's a millimeter, if it's just a regular standard digital K2, if it's a, anything. Any sort of meter like that, throw it in the freezer for an hour, pull it out, and do your own house, and you'll see it be completely different.
Nice.
So two things I noticed that extremely affect them is temperature and humidity.
Right.
More humidity than temperature.
I have to try that and see what happens.
There you go.
There you go.
What's your...
did I just do one of those complete no-nos and kill the conversation?
what's your take on the ghost box, Jason?
The ghost box, I really don't like them too much. A lot of people do. Personally, I don't care how fast that thing is, zipping through channels. It's still picking up radio channels. No matter which way you cut it. And you can't really stop that. You can cut the antenna completely out, and there's still that chance of it picking up, frequency. And typically, whenever you get anything off of them, it's always just a quick flip. It never lasts too long unless it's on TV. Then you'll get fully functional distances out of it, but only on TV. You might get one that crosses two channels. Sure, that's okay. That's fine. That can be qualified. But whenever I do any kind of evidence, I like having three. I don't like one piece of evidence saying, okay, I got something. I like, it's three different devices going off at the same time. That's what I like. If I get a K2 kit, I want to hear an EVP on top of it or a picture or some kind of video or something else. I just can't go by one thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the only time that I experienced the spirit box really doing something that I couldn't explain is when we randomly grabbed a coin in the pitch dark and we said call it in the air, and we got somebody come through and said heads, and it landed on the floor. We turned our flash on and found it, and it was heads. And when we turned our flash on off, and we said, what is the air on the coin? Which we had no clue, because especially being in the dark, we just glanced when we turned the flashlight off. and they said 1985 through the ghost box, and we turned the flash on, and I'll be damned if it didn't say 1985 on that coin. That muckled my mind big time there.
Well, that's going to be impressive. The biggest question, the question that I always ask people, and they can never answer it for some odd reason because there's always stumps in it. You always find a way to fuck them up. But you ask them, you say, all right, how does a ghost box work? How do ghosts speak directly through a ghost box? Some of them say,
yeah.
well, it's white noise or whatever the case is. Okay, well, then go get a white noise machine. How come you don't get the same results in a white noise machine? And they're like, well, so forth and so on, and blah, blah, blah. Well, if you dig down a little bit, I mean, the chances of a ghost box even working, it's going to be very, personally, if you want my honesty, it's going to develop radio waves. Radio waves is radiation, it's a form of radiation, and it is known that entities can utilize radiation to their benefit. So it is quite possible that a ghost box can work, if you want my honest opinion. But then you go ahead and you ask, you know, someone who knows all this, this question, and they will not do it. They will not do this experiment at all. And they're willing to try it. I'm probably going to try it one day. This is what I want to do. I want to take a police scanner and not program it and see what happens.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
The ghost box site, just because Mark and I, we're a little bit more technical, I guess, or technical savvy, if you will, than with modifying things. So, excuse me. I bought 3 of the SP7s, and I also have 5 of the quote-unquote Shack Hacks. Well, Radio Shack doesn't sell that form of radio anymore, but we modify them in different ways. And we'll run 2 SP7s and like 1 or 2 Shack Hacks at the same time, which are all on different, all on the same sweep rate if we can get them as close as we can, or we'll modify them in a certain way. And we'll completely remove the antennas and just leave the lead wires out, which would only be able to pick up local. But the one really cool thing is when you sweep in reverse and you start to get, and like on the SP7, when you sweep in reverse on a fast rate, you're not going to get anything intelligible that would come through as a sentence, which is why I personally go by the 3x5 rule, which is a 3-syllable word over 5 stations. And then I consider it to be something maybe paranormal. But
it's questionable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like a 1-syllable, like, no. That throw that shit in the garbage. Like, even on EVPs, too. If you're walking around and you just hear a very tight no, just a 1-syllable quick word, yeah, question it, but I wouldn't present it as anything.
It all depends on, you know, what's coming through. Name, for example, a name. If you get a name out of it, that's extremely questionable. Why is it? Because it's picking up radio frequencies, and every radio station says the name of the radio station. It says who they are. Names always pops out in radio stations. So they're always questionable to me. But, I mean, if you're asking something direct and you get something that's, you know, coinciding with that direct question or what's going on within the investigators, you know, something that they're doing, and you get some kind of response, and it makes it pretty more, a little bit more better, you know what I mean? But, you know, I always question everything that comes out of them.
Yeah. You know, I still do it when we do anything with the public at events or whatnot. I'll fire the SB7 up, and there'll be a crowd of people, and I'll just randomly point at somebody in the crowd, and I'll say, tell me their name. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I'll get a direct response with their name, and you just see their face just go dead white, and they're like, holy shit, you know, and I couldn't tell you if that was, you know, true evidence or not. It's a cool party trick, I guess you could call it, you know, if it was that, called that. But, you know, it's one of those devices. It's kind of cool to play around with, but, you know, to actually document and say this is true paranormal evidence, I talk to a spirit, you know, I question all that, you know?
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with questioning things. You always got to do what you can to, you know, question everything, because you never know exactly what's going to be good and what's not.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I wish more people would take heed to that when they're posting photographs and EVPs on the net.
This is what I don't like about that. People post stuff. A lot of them are pretty cool, you know, no big deal. They'll post it and you know, they just want some feedback on it. And you give them their feedback and they're okay with it. Other people, they'll post things, you know, with the phone apps, obviously. I'm sure you've seen them. And those ones piss me off. But then there's other people, and they're mostly the orb guys, for some odd reason. They'll post their orbs, and they'll ask for your opinion, and you give them your opinion, and they get so fucking defensive over it, it's not even funny. It's like, holy shit, dude, why did you ask anyone's opinion if you're not going to accept it?
Matt.
Yeah.
Tell Jason what you did.
What do you mean?
When you posted that pic that was fake.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said when you posted that picture when you were with Jody, and you posted that picture of that myth on Facebook.
Oh, yeah, and I was, oh, my God. I was getting responses left and right about all right, so what I did is I took one of the e-figs and I popped on an e-fig and I blew the mist out, and when it came out into the room, it just hit the sunlight right to where it looked like, it looked questionable. I know exactly what it was, and I did it on purpose where I put it online saying, hey, what do you all think? And the responses were, oh, my God, there's a devil's face in it. There's this and that. No, that's extremely paranormal. You should have your house blessed. Like, no, I know what the hell it is. It's vapor from an e-cig. Like, it's not anything other than that. And just some of the people that were commenting on it and what they were commenting, I'm like, are you flipping serious right now? Like, I didn't even respond. I didn't post what it was. I didn't call anybody out. But I had like 74 comments.
Goes on with the power of suggestion. I mean, if you post a picture, people believe you know you're in the paranormal, and they know you're an investigator. So you're posting a picture of a building at night, and you're asking for an opinion. They're automatically going to assume there's a ghost in there somewhere. So they jumped to conclusions.
It was my bedroom during the day. It wasn't even like a creepy place at night. It was my bedroom during the day. And I was told that I needed to contact the shaman and like all this shit. Like, are you serious right now? Like, well, how about guys like and ask questions before, like, nobody even asked a question about it. Everybody just commented about what it was and how demonic it was. That was my biggest problem with it. And this is the first time I've ever actually talking about what I did and how I did it and why I did it.
Crazy. People, they assume, a lot of people do assume, you know, something that isn't there. It's just the way it is. Especially knowing you're an investigator and you're posting a picture. They're going to try to give you some kind of certification of what you think you captured.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
For people to say, like, directly, oh, this is what it is, like, no, you're a fucking moron, honestly. But you're going to tell me what it is instead of asking questions about, hey, what was the environment? Was it cold out? Was it this, that, the other thing? Could it have been something natural? No. But to say, hey, I see the face of the devil in it, and you should get your house blessed, shut up.
Oh, yeah. The worst, to me, the worst when, as a paranormal investigator, is when you have a client call you and you go over to their house, and they proceed you to pull out their phone or pull out their laptop and show you pictures that they took of their home with demon faces and all kinds of crazy stuff that they see in the picture. And I said, how long did you stare at that photo? And they're like, well, for a good while. And I said, see, your mind is just trying to make, you know, trying to make sense of the what it is. I said, anybody can stare at a photo and get some kind of image out of that, especially if you're scared, if you got crazy shit going on in your house. I said, taking pictures, you know, I can't tell you that that's paranormal. I can't tell you that that's a child's face in the window there, you know. I said, we can investigate, and if there is a child here and we pick it up, then it might correlate with your photograph. But, you know, they come, you go in there and they got all these photographs, and you're like, oh, God, and they want to sit down and show you all of them.
I get that a lot. A lot of people send me a lot of pictures before an investigation, and it happens a lot. You get called into a residential, and they say, oh, I've got pictures I can show you. Okay, well, you want to send them, how about it? I don't care. And yeah, you got to kind of take it with, I just take it with a grain of salt now and just look at it and say, well, that's interesting, and that's as far as it goes.
Yeah.
I don't care. You're gonna believe what you believe. You're going to see what you want to see. That's not what I see. It's okay. I'll come in, I'll investigate, and I'll check it out, and we'll go from there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. What's one of the funnier moments that you've had when you've been on investigation?
The prettier moments?
Funnier moment.
Oh, funnier moment?
Yeah.
I got a lot of those. I can go on and on for hours on this. But I remember one night we were doing, there's this old farmhouse we typically do out in New Jersey, and it's abandoned, and we investigate it all the time, no problem, but before everyone goes out, no matter what team you are, you always wind up meeting someplace, getting a little bit of food in you, a drink, so forth and so on. Well, we had Taco Bell that night, and we're talking, and I'm gobbling up my tacos, you know, gobbling them up, and tacos managed to give me bad gas. And we had this rookie with us. For whatever reason, he decided to walk right behind me, and I'm farting all the way up the driveway. And she yelled at me. She said, Jay, that's disgusting. I was like, what the fuck are you doing standing behind me? Get in front of me. Holy shit. That was kind of funny. But she continued to walk right behind me during Taco Bell night. Wasn't too pretty for her, but oh, well. That's stupidity. I've got this other investigator, one of my co-founder. He's a military guy, came out of the military, hates bugs, completely hates them. I don't know why. Finally, we're in an investigation, and I went out in my car, and I had a little plastic spider, and I attached it to a fishing line and hung it over his head while we were walking in the dark. He bugged the fuck out and ran out the door. It was fucking as hell. Oh, that was great. But hey,
yeah,
you gotta do things to keep yourself occupied at times.
Yeah, I'll play you one of ours. Here's a classic from one of our investigations. Here it is. If it plays.
No, that was me.
We're just investigating, and one of my investigators just blew his asshole out.
Nothing wrong with that. Now, what's funnier is if you get something like that, and I've done this too, you get a nice gas one going out, real nasty, and then you go home and you have your girlfriend or wife at the time think you got an EVP and look at it and say, oh, you got to hear this, and you put it on her ears, and then you hit play, and all you hear is someone farting. That's pretty interesting when that happens.
Yeah, we, myself, Jeff, and one of the other investigators were up in the attic of this home. It's one of those late 18, early 1900, I guess they call them grandfather attics. You know, they're just almost like another floor. You can just walk around in them. And
yeah.
We were sitting on a couch. They were sitting on the couch. I was sitting in a chair, and it's all quiet, and we're kind of just BSing a little bit.
And Jeff goes, he just announces to us, he goes, "Sorry, guys," and then kind of cocks his leg and just rips one. And the other investigator goes, "Did you just shit yourself? Dude, we're up in the attic. There ain't no damn, there's no air up here. And you just busted ass." And I'm over there holding the camera, and I'm just laughing my ass off to tears. And I laugh so hard that I rip one, a big-ass fart. And
instead of safety, thinking about the safety, I'm trying to clear the area of animals.
Well, what's funny is it wasn't a Class A, but it was more of a Class C EVP, but we got a spirit after I blew gas saying, "Ew," on the EVP recorder. I never laughed so hard in my life when I reviewed that and caught that. It was so fucking funny.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. Whatever you blow gas on, any investigation you get on the recorder is always funny. No matter which way you cut it, parts are funny.
Dennis still loves our Class A EVP that we got in the hotel room in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Kevin, I know you know which one I'm talking about that's on the board.
Oh, let me find it. Jace will laugh his ass off on this one. Let's see. Where the hell did I put them? Oh, I put them under full spectrum, I think.
I think it's FSR.
Yeah. Full spectrum radio. Let's see. God damn, you've got a lot of shit.
Don't give me that, Mr. Terrify. Shut the hell up.
Oh, here they are. I found them. Let's see. Here we go.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets fucking, you know.
And there was one more here. Let's see. It's going to play. Play, damn it.
Gotta love blog talk.
It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again. It puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the hose again.
You know what sucks about that, though? I found out, like, I watched the movie again, and I didn't even have the line right, so we're going to have to recreate that at some point. Hopefully not in the condition that I was in when that happened. But,
The first one was you with your vampire teeth in.
Yes, that was.
The second one was after you had a lot of spirits in your body.
Yes. The second one was after a bunch of spirits. I was possessed completely. I was really, really possessed.
Yeah. That bar really possessed you.
Well, you know, and I don't know if they were doing witchcraft or what it was, but that was from Steve Gonzalez, Grant Wilson, and Dave Tango from Ghost Hunters. Whatever kind of sorcery or witchcraft they were doing, they put into my body, and they did a very, very good job of it.
Well, we're down to the last 4 minutes of the show, Jason, so I'll give you an opportunity to promote your event coming up this weekend again.
Yeah, sure. The event is this Saturday at in Radford, Virginia, at St. Albans Sanatorium, loaded with all kinds of great paranormal activity from what I hear. I haven't been there yet, but I am extremely excited to get down there. Tickets are $65 a pop. You can always message me on Facebook to find out where you can get those tickets. It's going to be a great time. I've got some awesome speakers coming down there. I'll be selling a copy of my book, which is called Unrusted Peace. You can find that on Amazon as well. It's available for Kindle and paperback. And that's really all I have. I mean, you can always catch my show on DTM Wicked Radio on Mondays and Tuesday nights.
Sweet. Well, thanks, Jason, so much for coming on tonight.
It's a pleasure.
And hope you have a great time this weekend.
Well, I hope so, too. I think I am, at least. I think I'll have a great time. The place is just completely, amazingly active from what I hear. You know, from a lot of different teams who have been there and so forth and so on. So I can't wait to get down there.
Plus, you got Dennis, so he'll be highly entertaining, too.
Yeah, I have Dennis coming down, so I'm sure we'll have a blast.
All right, man. Well, you have a great night.
Hey, you too.
All right.
All right. Later.
Bye. All right. Jeff, you still awake?
Yep, I'm still here.
Jeff has his moments. There's times where Jeff will do a lot of talking, and there's other moments where Jeff just kind of drifts off into la-la land.
Yep.
I do that too, Jeff. It's all right.
it's getting late, and I'm falling asleep.
Oh, I love talking with Jeff when he gets like this. Jeff, I'm going to start bringing our skits back.
Okay.
So if you got any skits with callers, you can go for it as well. We'll begin the battle again.
All right.
Of course, Jeff will not be with us next week because he's got to watch also next Sunday.
Hello?
You there? Yeah?
I'm here.
Matt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I was just saying, Jeff won't be with us next Sunday. He's going to watch pay-per-view wrestling.
Well, you got to have priorities.
I already paid for it. I'll watch it.
On our show next, which I'm in the process of reading right now, but on the show next Sunday we have Lane Crosby. She's a medium, and she's written a book, which is a pretty damn good book. She sent it to me in the mail, so I've been reading. It's called Investigative Medium, The Awakening. And so she'll be on the show next Sunday. And that's pretty much it. I know Matt and Glenn have Full Spectrum Radio on Wednesday. You have a question?
Yeah, Full Spectrum on Wednesday. We're going to have Greg Clean back with us from the Clean Brothers from Everyday Paranormal. So, haven't talked to him in a while. So, it's going to be a little bit of catching up and going to be a little talk about. I talked to Brad and we're going to dive into a little bit of procedure and technique, which there is no protocol for, but just certain tips, certain things that have helped us out over the years and helped them out over the years.
Cool. Sounds good. And be sure to tune in tomorrow for Fast Radio right here on Blog Talk at 8 p.m. Central Time. And that's all I got. Jeff, you got a song picked out to get us out of here?
Yeah, sure. This is Bowling for Soup, High School Never Ends. Good night, everybody.